And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
What the fuck am I doing here?
Huh? In a game or in life?
Yeah. Oh, both. Both. Yeah, I guess that sounded really asshole-ish. What the fuck am I doing here?
Before we get started, though, we just want to make sure you got a good sense of humor, right? Because some of the questions that we have lined up for you are a little off the wall. Like, not offensive, but goofy.
Off the wall. Yeah, sure.
We're wacky and crazy guys. Off the wall.
Well, I was trying to think of how to say it. Don't judge.
Shout out to Michael Jackson.
Oh, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
Happy.
And this is episode 154 of the SML podcast, a special interview today. And for an interview, we have a special co-host by the name of Shiz Blacka, who I don't think he left after yesterday's episode.
What do you mean?
I think you've just been on the Skype call for 2 days now, just waiting.
Yeah, obviously. I was like, yes, I want to be back.
So, we mentioned we have an actual interview today, and it's not Shiz Blacka. He's too busy playing games.
You know it.
From Quick Tequila, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, hello. My name is Vidvat. My game studio is called Quick Tequila Computer Video Games, and I'm the developer behind Lovely Planet, which just released on Xbox One and released earlier on Steam in 2014.
And for the people who don't know what Lovely Planet is, do you want to give us the quick sales pitch for it? Sell the game to everybody?
Sure. It's a speedrunning shooter game, which is also cute at the same time. So that's what it's got going for it. There's cute stuff everywhere, and you jump around and you shoot stuff, and everything is trying to kill you. So, yeah, that's Lovely Planet in a nutshell.
All right. Go ahead, Pappy.
Yeah, because I want to get the first word in on this one. I hate speedruns, and I'm very bad at shooters, and I couldn't stop playing the game yesterday.
That's good.
Yeah, it's you say the cuteness. Like, I think between the music kind of counteracting my anger and
that's what it's supposed to do. It's like this soft cushion. Yeah, people get super angry.
It's an absolutely gorgeous game. And so, like, I did the first – well – you know, I jumped in. I do what I usually do. I skip all the tutorials, and I jump in, and I die, and then I walk off a cliff, and then I die again. And then I figure out how to do it. And I actually, the very first level, I did it in, like, 17 and a half seconds, and it's like, oh, qualifying time, 8.25 seconds.
You're terrible.
I can do that. And so I just played the first level, I think, 8 or 9 times, and then got to, like, 8.11 seconds. And I'm like, okay, now I can move on to the next one. I don't do that in video games. So amazing props to you right there for making me do something that I never thought I would do, and that's just constantly replay a level to meet a goal.
Thanks. Wow. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah.
That is impressive to hear that a game accomplished that, because Pappy is notorious for being not only terrible at games, but not trying to get better at them.
Yes, that second part is usually – fact, how far I get in video games.
It's usually he sucks and then he gets pissed and quits.
So how far along did you reach?
Yeah, me too. I can't do speedruns, and I hate speedruns, and I can't stop playing this fucking game. I think I have like 10 hours in it, and I haven't even made a dent.
Well, how far did you get?
Just because I've been trying to 3-star stuff. You guys were kind enough to hook me up with a review copy, and on Christmas I 3-starred the first 2 chapters of 5, and then on the third one I'm on level like 15 of 22 or something, and then the game just started destroying me. Like, destroying me. But it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's just being nice to you. Wait till you get
World 4. It's being nice to him?
I started it last night.
God.
I started World 4 last night, like, forget the stars, let's just play it, and I think I had nightmares.
It is fun watching you try to play it, Shiz, because if people don't watch Shiz Blacka on Twitch, my favorite part about watching him stream is watching him get progressively more frustrated as he streams a game, where it starts off, he's like, oh man, I could do this, I could do this, yeah, I could do this, I died, but I could, I'm the best in the world. You know, 20 minutes later, it's like, oh, I could do this, oh, yeah, this fucking game, goddamn this.
Yeah, I guess we should get to a question there, and the first question is, why did you decide to make such an adorably difficult game?
An adorably difficult game. Yeah, it's the whole idea. The whole idea was to make something completely different, like something people have not seen before. And every first-person shooter out there, it's, you know, it's gruesome. It's got blood, and it's got just the whole, you know, the military shooter, you know, genre. It's that's all that shooters are today. I was like, why do that? Because if people want that, they can go get that elsewhere. So I was like, yeah, let's just make a shooter game that's cute. Why not, right? And why is it hard? I like it when games have like a bit of a challenge.
You like watching people suffer.
I actually don't. You know what? When I watch people play this game, I'm like, oh my god, just stop. You know, why are you? but and people, like, they're angry at the game, right? And they're frustrated. But when they get off, they're like, yeah, that was fun. And I'm like, That's great. It's amazing how that works, you know. So yeah, people enjoy it anyway. So
yeah. Before we ask too many more questions, we actually got a handful of email questions. You were nice enough to hook us up with some copies of the game to give out. So, of course, I immediately went to Twitter and said, if you're interested in checking out the game, send us a question for the developer for an interview and we can hook you up. And you were actually nice enough to hook us up with one extra code, because we had exactly one more email than we had codes. So now everybody's going to walk away with a copy of the game, thanks to Mr. Vidvat, who is awesome. So I figure we will start with these, which will probably take care of most of the questions we have. So these people are basically doing our job for us.
It's a win-win, really.
Yeah, pretty much. The first question is from a friend of the show, Legend of the Star, Jill Kaufman, who asks, when developing the game, what made you decide to choose this particular art style?
All right. So at the time when I started working on this game, I was obsessed with Japanese, like, pop music. And I was listening to that stuff on repeat. And if you follow some of those J-pop artists, they have wildly, like, creative videos with lots of color, and it's fantastic. It's so different. And I was looking at, you know, a prototype of a shooter which had, like, boxes and gray, you know, like, it was just an empty world and it needed a face. And I was like, what can I put on this game that will make it look good? And I have this video playing on my second screen, right? And I'm like, why not? Let's do this. Let's just throw lots of color into it, make it, you know, all wacky and abstract. And that's why the aesthetic style of the game. I was just obsessed, and I was watching that stuff every day. So I wanted to, you know, when you consume so much of this one culture, you want it to get out of your system. So you put it onto something, and I put it onto my game. And that's why.
Nice. I will warn you that basically every person who sent us emails did have a question about the visuals, so you're going to get that one repeated.
You know, real quick, I'd just like to point out that we have met some kind of amazing odds here, where two developers in a row have both made games that they state they like to make difficult games, and they were both huge fans of J-pop.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, because we had Joe of, was it Knob Games?
Knob Software.
Knob Software 2 days ago, and he had pretty much the same things to say. He's like, I want to make a tough game, and I love J-pop. It's like,
Drastically different games, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they
Because he released the game Molly Maggot for the Wii U, which is a platformer where you're a maggot inside a body. Inside, like, a duck.
Yeah, he went the opposite of the cute.
Yeah, he went kind of psycho, but still in a cute hand-drawn fashion, which is Weird.
I've never heard of that game.
Anyway.
It's on Wii U.
Yeah, it's a $2 downloadable game that just came out, I think, a week or two ago.
Cool.
Our next email is from Nick Simpson, who says, obviously, I love the look of your game. Were you guys inspired by the Katamari Damacy games? And if you were, which one is your favorite?
I have actually never played a Katamari Damacy game.
Really?
I've never played any of those games. I've seen a lot of those games. I mean, I've obviously heard about it. But was I inspired by it directly? I don't think so. Like, when I was working on the game, I was just haphazardly looking for like an art style which I could actually pull off on my own, right? And the simple colors and the flat shaded, you know, the flat shaded textures and the solid colors were just it was actually the easiest thing to pull off, which is why I went in that direction. And I mean, I've already spoken about the aesthetic and the colors, so it wasn't Katamari that I was thinking of before I came up with the style. That was just, it happens to be like that.
A happy accident, exactly. I guess.
Yeah, you could say that. You could say that it was a happy accident.
Wow, yeah. The first game that came to mind when I started that between the music and the visuals was Katamari. So that's pretty interesting to hear that it really wasn't a factor in your decision.
See, now we know the secret is that the guys who made Katamari did it just because it was easy.
Yeah. They ripped you off, man. They stole your design.
No, it's usually a lot harder to, like, you know, get textures and like do actual materials, and then you want to go for the whole photorealistic art style, and then it shows that you were trying to go for the photoreal art style, but it wasn't really coming through. So, like, I would rather have a game that looks simple and abstract rather than, you know, trying to look realistic in some way.
Yeah, and there's so many games now that are photorealistic and, you know, dark and gritty and gray and brown, that it's awesome to see games that know what a color palette is.
Yeah, it's fresh like that. I mean, it's simpler. It's a lot more simple and abstract, but it's actually different because every other game is going for that same, you know, photoreal art style. So, yeah, I think Katamari just seems to be a game that did it long ago. So every game which has, like, low-poly flat shaded environments would be compared with, you know, Katamari. So I guess that makes sense.
All right. Our next email is from Jordan Phipps. This first question might sound a little familiar. It says, what game/media inspired you to make such a unique art style in Lovely Planet?
Right. Yeah. So is there more to that question?
Yeah, he has a second one. Now that Lovely Planet is done, what's next, and are you interested in doing a sequel?
All right, good. So, aside from, like, the J-pop stuff, if you look in the game, there are lots of secrets, and most of those secrets are, like, they're lifted off of scenes from old Japanese films. And aside from the J-pop music that I was totally into, I was also consuming a lot of old Japanese films. I don't know if you're aware of Akira Kurosawa's films.
Oh, yeah. I'm the movie guy on this podcast, so yeah, I've seen a lot
of Kurosawa. Right, yeah. I was just like, I was floored by the films that I saw. I saw all of his films, I think. And that was just, I was doing that like every week. Like, I would get my friend over from like where I was staying at the time. I would be like, you know, let's get some soda, let's get some chips, and let's just sit down and watch all the Kurosawa films. And outside of the art style, I think the content in the game also is influenced by, you know, all of his movies. And you can see that if you find all the secrets in the game, they're actually just like scenes from the film. Yeah, all of that stuff. Like the there's one hidden dagger achievement, I think, that's from Rashomon. And there's you can find the graves, which is from Seven Samurai. So yeah, it's just all that stuff.
I'm kind of wondering how weird your game would have been if you were influenced by Takashi Miike.
Oh God,
who's that?
Oh, he's Japan's latest big director. He does a lot of weird hype. Well, he does every genre, but he tends to specialize in the hyperviolent, just completely off the wall weirdness.
Interesting.
If you're done with Kurosawa, I recommend checking out Miike. Start with Audition.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe my next game is influenced by Mr. Mickey.
If someone's mouth is cut all the way open and they're running around with razor shoes, then I know exactly where your influence came from.
Wow. Yeah.
Razor shoes. Yeah.
About what's next, like, it's too soon to reveal, but yeah, I have spoken about it on my blog that I am working on. I don't know if I want to call it a sequel, but it's just another Lovely Planet game.
Nice.
But there are details about it right now.
Is it going to be the same style of, like, speed running first person shooter, or is it just going to be like the same world, different genre?
It is going to be a shooter. And it's not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same world. It is going to be a little bit different. Without revealing too much, I did talk about how the mechanics are going to be a little bit different, and it's not going to be the exact same game. So I don't know if I want to call it a sequel, particularly. So it's just like another game which happens to be a shooter, which happens to be in the same universe. So
all right.
More about that later this year. 2016 all right. is going to. Lovely.
We cool. will definitely keep our ears and eyes peeled for more information on that, because I'd love to see what's coming next. And fingers crossed, I would personally love to see like a full-on first-person shooter with a story and campaign with the same kind of visual style and not just a speedrunning game, because I'd be super curious to see what kind of storyline could fit into that kind of world.
Lots of... Lots of different things can be done with this. And when the game came out, lots of people asked for, oh, it'll be amazing if we could just explore a world like this. And I have that at the back of my mind. I have a lot of things that I want to do with this universe, which I mean, it takes time, you know, to make a game and polish it out and actually release it and support it. So I can't promise that game will come out anytime soon. But yeah, I want to do that. That's the plan.
Nice. All right. Our next email is from Lana Lokers, who says, first question, I love the look and aesthetic of the game. It's so simple yet cool looking. What were your inspirations for the design of it?
I think we got that answered already.
Yeah. Second question, what games inspired the development of the game? It reminds me a little bit of Trials, Super Meat Boy, and other stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting question. The inspiration, I think, overall from the design and the progression in the game, I think it comes from Super Meat Boy. But I wasn't trying to like imitate it in a way, because this is a first person shooter and Super Meat Boy is actually a side scroller. Lots of things are extremely different when you translate everything that you learned from Super Meat Boy to like a first person shooter. So it is a different game, but yeah, I learned a lot from Super Meat Boy. I wanted to do this short levels, really quick. You die at every corner and you learn through muscle memory, right? Like that's, you can say that for Lovely Planet. It does a little bit of that. So yeah, I think inspiration from a design standpoint, yeah, I think Super Meat Boy was up there.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It does, but the game now, it isn't like, if you play it, it's not like Super Meat Boy, because like in Super Meat Boy, you can see the level in front of you. In this game, you actually have to run into the problem, right? And then you're like, oh, there are enemies here. Oh, there's bombs falling everywhere. So you actually have to go through the level to learn it, which isn't something like, which isn't something that Super Meat Boy does. So it's more like Guitar Hero, you know, you have to learn the song, you make a mistake, you go back.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's what the game turned out to be like. But yeah, Super Meat Boy is where it started.
Nice. Our next email is from Tembo Elephant, who actually won a copy of the game off of Shiz's stream last night, so he doesn't need a code, so F him. he actually has three questions. The first one, was it an easy process to port the game from the PC to the Xbox One?
So, yeah, I can't speak much to that. I can tell you that it's actually a very complicated process. Like, you have to go through certification and stuff like that, because that's, I mean, you have to pass all of those specifications on the consoles. So it is it's an extremely complicated process. And, if your game is on, like, my game is written on the Unity engine. So that sort of simplifies the process, but not like, you still have to put in a lot of work to get the game onto that platform.
That makes sense.
Go on.
I thought Pappy was saying something. I guess not.
I didn't say shit.
Next question. What made you decide to bring the game to the Xbox One?
All right, so it was a decision we made with my publisher, Tiny Build Games. They wanted to expand onto that platform, and because my game was really simple, we were like, why not, right? Let's try this out. Let's try porting this game to the Xbox One. And they helped out a lot with that process. Actually, they did most of the porting for me. So it was just a really simple game. So it was extremely inviting to try it out and then go onto that platform. So I think that's why. It's good because lots of different players who haven't touched the game ever, they don't even know about it because it was a PC-only game. So lots of people are playing the game for the first time on that platform. So why not?
Me included, because I'm not much of a PC gamer. So I'm glad it came.
Yeah, and I've had Steam for 4 years and I've got like 18 games.
Oh, yeah.
Same here. I would have never played it on PC. So I'm happy. I know that Tiny Build is also, like, they brought No Time to Explain. They're bringing speedrunners. I know that they want to bring more games to the consoles, which is awesome. Yep.
So shout out to Tiny Build for being awesome.
Hell yeah.
And then Tembo's final question, do you plan on releasing your future games on the Xbox One as well?
Yeah, I don't know what the circumstances would be of what it's like to release indie games on platforms because this whole space is changing so rapidly. I don't know what it's going to be like a year from now. So I really can't say, like, would I like my game to be on more platforms? Yeah, of course. Like, more people play it, right? So that's something you want. But all of this is changing so fast. Like, you just can't, like, I can't tell you what it's going to be like a year from now. So, yeah, fingers crossed, it actually makes financial sense. And it's actually still easy to get on it. So, yeah, we'll see.
All right. We'll keep our fingers crossed, too, then.
Yeah, that's the big one. Does it make financial sense?
All right. Next email from Mitchell Christensen. His is more of a tech question. He's asking why the Xbox sounds are faster, like getting shot or shooting a sieve and finishing a level and whatnot. Why there's differences in the sound effects between the Xbox and the PC.
So, yeah, I think lots of things got, because you have to pass certification, and the sound effects in the original game were, I think some of them were like, they were clipping and they were not really as refined as we'd like them to be. So when the porting process was started, I think lots of those, most, not a lot of them, but some of those sounds, they had to be altered. So we had to do that so that, like, if you're playing this game on your television, it doesn't clip your speakers, and, you know, that's something that the Xbox has to make sure that it's not doing to your speakers. So it's actually like a certification thing in the end. They don't want sounds that are like crazy and loud. So all of that, while the porting process was going on, we had to tune all those things, I guess. So that's why some of the sounds are probably different.
Well, thank you for saving our speakers, I guess.
Exactly, yeah.
That's actually pretty interesting that Xbox has a requirement for sounds.
It's not just the Xbox. It's probably every platform. Like, it's their responsibility to not, you know, like, blow up your speakers because it's their problem, right? So when the certification is going on, they're doing the back and forth with the developer. They're like, is your game doing this, this, and this? Like, you know, you have to be able to switch off a controller and switch it back on, and the game needs to still work. That's something certification makes sure goes into the game. And that's something you don't have to do for, say, Steam or anything like that. You have to do it for the consoles.
I actually really appreciate that because I got into more Steam gaming the last couple of months, and yeah, volume is my biggest complaint with a lot of those games. Is you play one game where you can comfortably, you know, just start up the game and then be on a chat with a friend and have no issues. And other games, like, I've had to knock the volume down to 1 out of 10, and it's still too damn loud.
Right. I mean, don't mean to shit on Steam, but their certification process is less. It's less of a problem than when you're talking about consoles.
Yeah. Can you download the game? Yes. Okay. Good.
Man, fuck Steam.
It's not that easy, but yeah.
Steam is bitches.
That explains why it takes so long to get passed. I did not know that.
Certification on consoles is, yeah, it is a painful process.
And apparently my Xbox One just took me saying fuck Steam as Xbox Bing. So it is in the search window for me right now.
Well, Sony's pretty desperate for people to use Bing anyway, so I'm pretty sure that just happens whenever it doesn't understand what you said. It's like, oh, you mean go to Bing? Okay.
My favorite is when I say something sucks, it just picks it up as Xbox, and it'll open like Groove Music or something, and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Midstream, like, I suck, and then the stream just goes down.
Nice. Well, you do suck, so... Our final email is from friend of the show, Uneaten Lake, who pulled the ultimate dick move and stole Pappy's favorite question by asking, while you were developing Lovely Planet, what games did you play to relax?
We're going to have to ban this guy from writing emails now.
This is an awesome question, because the answer to that question is going to be so ironic. Dark Souls.
Oh, my God.
You are actually in the majority of developers.
That is like the most frequent answer. Dark Souls, Demon Souls, Bloodborne. Everybody seems to answer with those.
And because it's an awesome game.
Eventually, we'll find that absolute masochist developer who's like, oh, I just like to run sandpaper across my arm when I'm not coding.
We've asked developers this, and it's such a weird answer, because it's such, for most people, it is such a difficult and frustrating game that most people can't see how you would relax to it. But most developers we talk to say that it helps them relax because it lets them get inside the mind of those developers, and they could be like, oh, I could see why they chose to put that guy there. Or why that enemy is there, or why this trap is here, and that's how they relax, is by just getting into the mind of someone else. So
that is true. That is true.
So, man, that is such a popular answer with everyone that we've talked to, and it's crazy.
That game is extremely misunderstood, and I think even like the game sells on the fact that, oh, it's one of those difficult games and everyone who plays that game is just like, you know, a masochist. But that's like, I don't know, people don't get it. I think like some people, like they don't understand what that game is able to achieve. And when I play that game, I'm like, yeah, one day I will make a game that is this awesome. Right? Which is why I guess it's relaxing.
Wow, that is cool to hear. But that is it for the email question. So I guess it's time for us to get into our more off the wall questions, or wacky and goofy for Pappy.
Do it.
So I'll start off with the question I'm sure everybody's asking. What drugs were you on when you designed this?
Coffee. I drink.
Well, Joe,
coffee.
Thanks for stealing my backup question.
Always caffeinated.
Nice.
I was not under the influence of any illegal substance abuse of some kind. No.
See, this is starting to prove my belief that the people who make the trippiest stuff are actually the sober livers.
Oh yeah.
The people who live sober come up with some of the weirdest stuff compared to the people who are like, oh, I'm gonna go drop acid and do shrooms and then, you know, draw what I see.
That's what happens when you play Dark Souls.
Dark Souls breaks your brain and you don't know. Yeah, Dark Souls is my drug. That game sends me on a weird high, and I like that.
Pappy, do you have any questions before I steal any more of them?
I'm too upset to think now.
All right, then I have another question. You're originally from India, correct?
Yes.
How did somebody from India make the most Japanese game I've ever seen?
That's what I was wondering too.
Outside of the whole J-pop influence, I just wanted to do something completely different. So I was like, yeah, why not have like Japanese text flying around? And I mean, nothing makes sense. I like it when games are obscure like that. So yeah, what would you expect? Like should the game have been like India based or something like that? No.
I just didn't expect that out of someone who's not Asian. So I guess I'm a racist.
Hey, yeah, because he is in Asia. Come on.
It's true. I love the flying text also. Like, already the graphics and the music are amazing. And then just flying text, it's like icing on the cake. The game's so good.
Actually, is the Japanese text correct?
I mean, if Google Translate is to be trusted, if Google Translate is to be trusted, then yes. But no, I did ask. I did ask around before I released the game if it's correct, and it is.
Because it could have been one of those lost in translation things, like the old fighting games where you thought you were saying, you know, you're free now, go, and it actually just says, you know, pants on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. All your base are belong to us.
It's like every 14-year-old girl's dreams for a tattoo, where it's like, I want to get this on my lower back, and it says hope, but in reality, it just says, like, banana or something.
Bananas.
Frito-Lay. It's the Asian symbol for Frito-Lay.
At least we're seeing it in reverse nowadays. We're seeing, well, I mean, when I was living in Okinawa in 2002, there were a lot of what we called English shirts, where the locals would buy shirts in English, and they didn't make any damn sense. And it was fantastic. Amazing.
Wasn't there a picture floating around of, like, some Asian who just had the word fuck tattooed on them?
Oh, yeah.
Just to get, like, a random English word.
And yeah, why not?
Instead of being, like, hope or dreams or something, it just says fuck. And he probably tells all his friends, yeah, this is the English word for inspiration, and I have it on my arm.
Yeah, but to be honest, nowadays, there's a very good chance that person absolutely knew what they were doing.
This also happens in, like, lots of pictures on the internet. You know what? When you're clicking pictures, you would just make the peace sign with, the two fingers out, like, and if you see, like, a bunch of Asians taking pictures, they have, like, they're just slipping off the camera. And it's like nobody cares. I like that.
I'm going to have to do that in all my family photos now. Everybody flip the bird. What?
Nice.
My grandmother, her favorite thing to say when setting up, like, family pictures is when instead of say cheese, she's like, everybody say shit. Because it makes everyone laugh. So that's when they take the picture.
Makes a lot of sense. I always say something like fuck balls or something to do the same thing. Everyone's like, what? It laughs. And then boom. Good picture. Good picture is how you properly say that. I need to learn English, man.
I just don't take part. To do that. I just moved 3,000 miles away from my family, so they don't have to worry about taking pictures of me.
That's awesome. That's
cool. Yeah, and
that's
we thank genius. You for that. Yeah, for the people.
I actually, like, everyone's been posting up all of their MAGFest memories, and I'm always in the background. Pretty funny. I'm the lurker.
You're the lurker in real life. Yeah, for the people who don't know, Pappy and I have known each other since sixth grade.
Yeah.
So we go back a long time. So the fact that he's 2,000 miles away from me is such a relief, because I don't need to see him.
43-year friendship.
Yeah, 24 years so far.
Back in my day.
I mean, there have been nice periods where we didn't talk too often. You know, they were relaxed.
Nice periods. Amazing.
And then I made the mistake of inviting him to do my show, and now he won't fucking leave.
No, I also just stay on Skype all day long. He logs in. I'm like, ha, I see you there. Let's do this.
Gotcha, fucker. Let's record.
Sneak in half an hour in like Chris.
Oh, man. So who else has questions for our wonderful guest?
Come on, Shiz. I know you got some.
I guess, yeah. Well, what made you decide to do the random text floating around? Like, you mentioned the art style stuff and the music makes sense now, but the random text, why did you just go ahead and be like, you know what this game needs? Text flying around.
Yeah, so the lots of people ask if there's, like, a story behind the game and everything, and that's why there's just random text everywhere. So players are actually, like, they're trying to figure, like, those who are inquisitive, those who want to know more about the world, they would actually, you know, look at this random Japanese text somewhere, and they'll take a picture and they'll put it on the forums and they'll find out. So for those people who want to go into it, that's just like a fun, what do you want to call it, a mini game, right? It's like a side quest, okay, which exists outside of the game. You just want to know what everything says, and there's this one achievement somewhere, like in the last few levels, you just arrive at this little shrine which has some Japanese text on it, and people take pictures and they put it up on the forums, and lots of people out there who obviously know how to speak Japanese would tell you that it's some Dark Souls reference, right? And that's, I mean, there's nothing you can, you don't take anything out of it, but it's just like a fun thing. Like, this game, the game is keeping some information from you. And when you overcome it, when you know what that means, you just learn something about the game, and that's like a that's a satisfying thing for players.
That makes sense. I still haven't seen that shrine because I'm that good at the game. I know it's in chapter 5 though.
It is, and that's a long way for you.
Yeah, I'll check it out in 2018.
Do you watch people streaming the game online and just sit there laughing at them failing over and over?
Yeah, I told you it's not a very pleasant experience. I'm just like, I'm holding my head, I'm face palming, and I'm like, just dude, just take a break, you know, go get some water. Like, no, it's like, just go take a walk, you know, drink some water and come back to this. It's
I would torture you.
The same level over and over, and yeah, it's a weird feeling. I have no idea. Like when the game came out, I did like watch obsessively, and after that, I was like. I need to get back to work.
Do you have any tips for people who are new to the game?
Yeah, don't obsess over it. Just, you know, how the Nintendo games ask you to like take a break every 15 minutes?
Yeah,
do that.
It says that every 15 minutes?
Well, take a 15-minute break every hour, I think.
Wow.
Something like that.
Whatever. That explains a lot. I think I take a 15-minute break every week.
Something like that. If I could throw out a tip for new players, check the controls in the game, because there's something called a lock-on, which apparently many players have not realized that you can lock on to some targets and enemies. So like a quick snap lock-on and shoot usually takes care of a lot of enemies, and there's plenty of people out there who are just like, there's a fucking lock-on in the game? What?
Yeah, I am one of them. There's a fucking lock-on in the game?
That was Shiz's reaction, what, last night or 2 nights ago?
2 nights ago, yeah, when Moist Zombie was playing it. When you said that in the chat, I could hear my brain exploding. I played the game like 9 hours before you said that. And I was like, are you telling me I didn't?
I could have been so much further in this game.
No, you wouldn't be further, Pappy. You would still be bad.
I'd be bad, but I'd be further and bad.
All right, I'll give you that. You'll be like 2 stages further.
Yeah, at least. Maybe 3.
So yeah, kids, reading the instructions of a game. That's a pro tip for all you kids.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's kind of nice being 100 hours in the Fallout 4 and still going, oh shit, that's cool. I didn't know I could do that.
It's like everyone who complains about the game and the story of the game, it's like, it's such a predictable story, and my top comment is always, there's a story?
I thought it was just get loot, kill people.
Yeah, it's Exploration Simulator 2K16.
I've not played Fallout 4, but I had the story spoiled for me on, like, I was playing Rocket League, and we were throwing random Star Wars spoilers. And somebody got back at us with like a Fallout 4 spoiler.
Nice.
And I was like,
instant karma. Damn.
About about the final decision of the game. I'm guessing between
what happens at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had it spoiled for me, and I don't care at all, because
I'm on my third playthrough and I haven't beat the game yet. I just get to a point where I'm like, all right, I'm happy with this storyline. Let's try another one.
Yeah, for me, the main story of the game is after you exit the vault in the beginning, you have to track down your son. And it's like, well, you can go to this town to get information for your son, or you could go to these different settlements. I think I hit level 30 before I went to that town. Just spent like 20 some hours not doing the story at all. And then I went to the town and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to keep exploring.
Yeah, I topped that ridiculousness on my third playthrough. You actually get experience points in this game for building things, like planting and building in a settlement and making stuff work, and even cooking and shit. I got to level 6 without fighting anything other than the cockroaches you have to fight to leave the vault. I got from level 1 to level 6 just by cooking and farming and building things.
Wow.
That's cool.
So, yeah, best Sims game ever.
I've still only played it 3 hours.
Yeah, you need to get back into that game.
That's the thing. I need to play it more so that I can properly judge it. But so far,
I spent 90 minutes in the character creator, as evidenced by that tweet I put out the other day.
I need to see that. All I remember is that I've named my guy Dildo Baggins. And he's beautiful.
Let's see, I went with Armageddon. Mr. Smiley the Serial Killer is my new one.
Nice.
And
God.
Yeah.
People spend a lot of time with the character creation screen, and they come up with all these obscene, like that character creation screen has so much freedom. Like you can create like weird faces, and it's unnerving.
Yeah, the best is still that someone actually made Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, that was a nice. Pretty good one.
Wow. Yeah, I saw some good ones of like, I don't know, Keanu Reeves and stuff like that, but Beavis and Butthead must be amazing.
I think somebody made John Cena and they just have him as a melee character in the game.
That's fucking amazing.
And then someone, what's the One Punch Man or something?
Yeah, One Punch Man.
Is that an anime?
Yeah, it's one of the best anime like ever created. You might actually even enjoy it, Joe. It's that good.
And they have this guy just melee killing death claws with one punch. And I'm like, what the? How do you do this shit?
Like, yeah, oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
So now we need Fallout 4 recreated in the lovely planet world.
Yeah, that's so.
That's your next game, isn't it? I think we found it out.
Sure, yeah, sure.
It's a complete one-to-one remake of Fallout 4.
Lovely Fallout.
Oh my god. That would be the greatest mod for the PC ever.
Yeah. I just got off the phone with Todd Howard. That's the plan.
Awesome.
That would be
Oh, that was my first character. Reginald von Mellenballer III. I don't know how I forgot that name.
What was the name?
Reginald von Mellenballer III.
That's beautiful.
What the hell?
I actually don't have enough room for that, so it's just Reginald von Mellon. But in my heart, it was the full name.
In your heart of hearts, it's Mellon Baller III.
Yeah.
So what other games have you been playing, or games that you're enjoying right now? Since you haven't played Fallout, I feel bad talking about Fallout.
No, it's fine. I mean, everyone's been talking about that game. I've played two games last year. I played, of course, Bloodborne. Hundreds of hours of that game, and most recently I think I picked up Metal Gear Solid 5.
Wow. And that's all that you've played?
Yeah, dude, there is one other game. It is called Honey Pop. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
No, I have not heard of that game. Please tell us about this game.
It is a dating sim which you can get off of Steam. And it's a pretty good game. You should check it out.
I mean, write
that
down. I like how you
have Dark Souls, Bloodborne, Metal Gear, and then a dating sim.
It's a good game, okay?
It's just, I like the consistency.
Is it like a serious one, or is it like a TOEFL boyfriend kind of goofy, crazy?
It is. It's somewhere in between that. It's got legit mechanics. It's a fun game. It's hard, and it's got like lots of secrets, and it's got a great narrative, and you can follow along the story and date anime girls. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Pappy, would you like to comment on that?
Shut up.
Pappy is the anime fan as well as the movie fan on the show.
I'm the media guy. Let's just call it what it is. I'm the media guy. I consume.
You're the anime guy.
And books. When was the last time you read a book, Joe? 2009?
What the fuck is a book?
When's the last time a wrestler that you liked put out a book? That's the last time you read a book.
This year, Daniel Bryan put out a book. I like my soaps. I need my
I like my manly soaps.
My man soaps.
Well, we're running on 50 minutes here. Is there anything else that we wanted to cover before our wonderful guest who never does drugs, he swears, has to go.
Is there anything else that you want to tell us about the game or about the experience? We're here to listen to you tell us stories.
Yeah, I think we've covered everything about what Lovely Planet was hoping to achieve with its gameplay and its story and its music. So So yeah, shout out to my musician Callum Bowen.
I was just gonna say, tell us who did the soundtrack, because the end of our show we usually play some music, and I figured I picked up the soundtrack, I would play some of that stuff at the end of the show.
Yeah. Callum Bowen, he's I think based out of London, and he saw the game, so the game got picked up by Kotaku back in 2013 actually, end of the year in 2013, and he found out about it, and he was like, yeah, this, I know what to do for the music of this game. And I was like, you know what, go ahead. And he came up with these like crazy tunes, and yeah, the game would have been, it wouldn't have been the same game without that crazy soundtrack. So yeah, shout out to Callum Bowen.
Just imagine like heavy metal in there instead of the happy J-pop-y music. Yeah, the music is absolutely perfect in the game.
It is.
And he's just like, amazing. Yeah, I got this. Don't worry, I got this.
Yeah,
I know exactly what's going on here.
Yeah, he's that good.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us about the game. It is absolutely fantastic. It just came out. It is available now for $10 on Xbox Live. Is it available, or is it planning to be available on PlayStation or Wii U or anything?
Wii U might happen later this year. Can't speak to the rest of the platforms right now.
All right.
Don't know about that. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on and talking to us and hooking up our listeners with copies of the game. And I wish you all the best with this game, and I can't wait to see what comes from you next.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, you will hear about it.
I hope so. Toss us on your mailing list, and you are welcome back anytime.
Thanks a lot.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Good luck with the game. Thanks so much for a great game.
I already hung up.
Yeah, Shiz, now that you've gotten inside the mind of the developer, you can. This will make you a better gamer.
No.
No, it won't. Yeah.
That's the thing. I don't torture myself with shit like Dark Souls. So either developers are just like way too good at games, or they just don't realize that they like to get tortured.
It's like, you know, like certain movies come out and people are like, oh, this is a movie for critics. You know, certain games come out, I think this is a game for developers, you know, where they didn't really have the general audience in mind. They're like, I want to make stuff that my fellows, so the people who really eat, sleep, and breathe this shit can enjoy. And for some reason, Dark Souls seems to be under that umbrella.
This is for my girls.
From a show to ace.
Yeah.
So one of the games we didn't get to talk about yesterday, because it basically just kind of like stealth released on us. We mentioned this a little bit before the show, but the game Cubot just came out for the Xbox One. Shiz, I'm guessing you've been playing it this entire time?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to give us your impressions on the game?
I'm glad I'm using a gun.
it's actually 2 hours for the guide or 7 days without it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Right now I'm at 400 of the 1,000 gamer score, which is actually pretty bad. I should be like done with the game by now, but even with the guide, I'm like, what the fuck is this? No, but this is actually a really, really cool game. You start off with just simple, you know, go from A to B, but then now stuff is going in reverse. I'm switching colors of the blocks, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, the basic gist of the game is you control cubes by pressing up, down, left, and right. Every button press moves every cube at the same time. Blue ones move one block at a time. Red ones can move two blocks at a time. Green ones move in reverse. There's orange ones that only mimic whatever block they're next to. You can stack blocks. Obviously, the game starts off relatively simply. And, you know, you get through the first stage and you're like, ah, bitch, I got this. And then, like, 5 minutes later, you're trying to hang yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game gets insanely difficult. Like, the people who are saying,
I'm trying to figure this out on my own, and
I'll admit that I went through as much of the game as I could. I didn't use a guide until I needed to, and near the end of the game, even with a guide, I was screwing up. Because some of the situations, like the best solutions for a puzzle to get it with as few moves as possible, Some of them, like, you'll think when you're getting to like 20, 30 moves to complete a puzzle and that's the best score. I think the last stage had like 60 some moves as the best score. Like, you cannot do it in any fewer moves.
That is fucking brutal.
For some reason, the
graphic style reminds me a bit of Cube, if that makes sense.
What, with cubes?
Director's Cut?
Oh, the movie.
No. The game that came out last year, it was like a first-person puzzle solver that was like a little portal-ish.
Yeah.
You say Cube Director's Cut, I'm like, yeah, it was a great fucking horror movie.
No, Q-U-B-E.
Yeah. Okay, I just say Cube because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it reminds me a bit of that, but in a good way.
Yeah, the game is absolutely fantastic. It's just, it will destroy you. If you try doing this on your own, you will probably never beat the game.
Yep, pretty much. but one thing that's cool, if you're an achievement hunter, the game is $2 and you could do it in like 1 to 2 hours with a guide. So
yeah,
that's pretty damn cool.
It all comes down to how quickly you could read instructions off of a screen for the achievements, if that's all you really care about. I think the game is worth picking up and playing for the $2.
For sure.
Just don't expect to ever beat it if you're not using a guide. I do not understand how people could beat the game on their own.
Now I'm kind of curious about maybe tomorrow I'll spend some time on it and see how far I can get before I have to use a guide.
Yeah, and you could talk about it on the show next week. I definitely wanted to bring it up and mention it since I actually, Uneaten Lake was trying to get the guy to do our show, and he's like, I'm not good at English. He's French, okay. And he's like,
I got you.
To the point where he told Uneaten Lake that he needs a dictionary for basically word-to-word conversation. And Uneaten Lake was like, oh, those are the best interviews. And I'm just here like, no, man, no.
No. Thanks for offering us an awesome developer, but we don't want to make it uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
I got you covered. I'll translate.
Are you good with French?
Yeah, I'm perfectly bilingual, man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I live in Quebec, and it's a lot of French over here.
He has a certain je ne sais quoi.
Exactly.
He has a certain Jenny Sequat.
Oh, man, you're good to go.
Would you like some horse devours?
Horse devours. He's dying on the inside.
I was sipping my coffee while you said that. God damn it.
Oh, man. Shit, I should have pulled up awesome. The developer name so I could give them proper credit. Where is it? Nicoplev? I'm not sure how... Like,
how do you spell it?
Nicoplv .com.
Oh.
ELB?
Nicoplv, maybe. I don't...
Probably. Plv is not really a word in any
language.
Yeah,
Plv is not a word at all.
The guy's name is Nicolas Pierre Lotivion.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's go. That makes sense. French.
It's Pierre -Loti-Viaud.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay.
Is it Vio? Like a silent D or something?
Vio?
Yeah.
Lotivio? Yeah. Pierre Lotivio?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Finally, my knowledge of silent consonants comes into play.
Oh, man. But, yeah, where's the... I know I sent him a message like, I totally understand you not wanting to do the show because of your limited English. Don't worry about it. We'll cover the game for you. So I wanted to make sure that we give him a shout out on the show. I want more developers to realize that you don't need to charge $15 for your game. Like, if you...
Pretty much. There's so many games that would...
It comes down to, like our wonderful guest, whose name I will not butcher, mentioned, you know, does it make financial sense? Mm-hmm. If you are a developer and you've made a game where you're like, I need to release this at $27 to make a profit, well then, okay, that's fine, but... You need to make sure that that's a $27 game.
Yeah.
Or you need to figure out, you know, could you have done it with a smaller team? Maybe you shouldn't have tackled this at, you know, if this was a first time game, you know, lots of aspects that go into it that, you know, without a marketing degree, I'm not going to even try. Other than just I recognize the difficulties of making a game and then setting a price point. But yeah, if you're a new developer and you can make a good $2 or $3 game, I'd say in today's market, that's not a bad thing. Yeah. Get your name out there, get people playing your game, talking about it, and now hopefully you can get enough funds from that to work on the bigger game next.
Yeah, even someone who like releases a game at $5, you're going to get enough notice for releasing a cheap game that there's going to be people out there who will drop the $5 on your game no matter what, just to support people releasing cheaper games.
Or even look at Epic was... On Epic's what, $10?
Yeah.
$10, yeah.
But they made sure that they're giving you a $20 game, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the amount of time you can spend in that.
And then there's some games where it's the opposite, like Submerged, I think, came out at $20. You could beat the game in like 2-3 hours and perfect it in like 7. That game should have been 10.
Yeah, that was one of my chief complaints about Yesai Ninja, is I know that the game itself has a pretty bad reputation, but I like to look at the game as just I'm trying to be positive to everything and not just focus on negatives. And my biggest negative was that they released it at $20, which is just no. They are looking into dropping the price to, I think, $12.99 or something like that, which is a lot easier to swallow. I think $10 would have been a perfect price point for it, but $20, I think, was just a kiss of death for the game.
Makes sense. Yeah, honestly, there's a lot of games where I feel like a lot of games come out at $15 because most of the games come out at $15. So they're like, oh, well, I could put it up for 10, but let's put it at 15. And they're just biting themselves in the ass because there's so many games where the price, I find like you would, let's say you sell 100 copies at $15, you would have probably sold like 200 copies at $10 and in the end made more money type thing.
Yeah.
And the cheaper games, like the $2 games, the $5 games, if you make your achievements easy, it sounds stupid, but you know how many achievement hunters will buy your game because you can 1,000-point it fast and easy and it's cheap.
Yeah.
And then you could use that money to fund the next game, like you said.
And to be honest, in this day and age of Twitch and Let's Players, if you make a fun game and you set it at a reasonable price, you're golden as long as you get a couple of bigger Twitchers to play the game. Like, hell, be your own advertisement. Email a couple of these guys. Be like, hey, I'm working on this game. Check out the YouTube video or this link or whatever. If you are interested, I will send you a code for the game if you play it live, you know?
Email us. We're whores, and we will play everything.
Well, I said popular Twitchers.
I know. I'm just trying to sell ourselves.
Nice. Email shiz. People will watch.
Yeah, I'll play anything that looks interesting, honestly.
Yeah, it's awesome that we're getting all of these developers, but the one thing I'm noticing is some of them could have benefited from even just part-time hiring someone who knows marketing and advertisement.
That makes sense.
Or even just talking to somebody who knows marketing and advertisement, you know? Like, hey, I got what I think is a great game here. What's the best way to go about pimping myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, a lot of the indie games, if they're made by, you know, one or two guys that just know programming, you know?
Yeah, but look at the...
Obviously, you got to sell your product. So
look at Don't Starve. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a concept game, it was a little weird, but they got covered by so many Let's Players that game is sold like what? Fucking one copy for everyone in America.
Holy fuck!
Wow, really?
Even look at Starwall, man. Starwall. Yeah. I don't know how well it did on the one so far, but on PC. It did really well, and it's because of people like Rooster Teeth and stuff like that who picked up on it really early and did Let's Plays, and it brought, you know, millions of views. Which
brings
people a lot
were like,
of sales.
That looks like fun as hell. I'm going to get that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is on Steam is that there's just so many games that how many of them release to absolutely no sales because there's such a flood of titles.
Yeah. With Steam, to be completely honest, I would not... If I were a developer making a game on Steam for a first time, I would do my damnedest to get some Let's Players on that. Even if it's quote-unquote small timers on Twitch, you want eyes on before you put out the product because, there's so much competition.
Like, I think a good comparison is look at a game like Lovely Planet, where, it, honestly, I never heard about it because it was on Steam, and there's just so many games on Steam that it gets lost in the shuffle, but as soon as it comes to Xbox, that stands out. A game like Lovely...
Yeah, we should actually talk about that, because I think if... I've never seen a Let's Play of Lovely Planet, but it's perfect for Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Like
Except
I had
for
fun
Shiz, because he's terrible
it.
At it.
Yeah, it's still
I was streaming
for
it, but I watched another streamer play it, and it was really fun to watch because it's just that type of game.
Yeah, it's
anything
fast
with speedrunning is fun to watch.
Yeah, anything that's fast paced challenges the gamer, you know, because they tend whether they get angry or excited or whatever when someone is actually being challenged in a video game, it's more fun to watch them. You know, the most boring thing is someone's like, "Oh, I'm going to play this game I'm really, really, really good at," and they just sit there and drool a little bit, and all you hear is "click, click, click."
Failure is always fun to watch. That's why I watch Shiz.
Nice. Damn.
One game that's going to be really damn good for that is Speedrunners.
Is that a speedrunning game?
It's kind of like, you remember Gianna Sisters. What the hell was it? It's like that, but a lot better. And it's made by Tiny Build.
Nice.
And it, I mean, again, I found out about it because of Achievement Hunter. And I watched their Let's Play, and it's just fucking incredible. But that one is fun to watch people play because it gets so intense.
Man, I feel like 2016 is going to be like the year of Tiny Build.
Hey,
dude, I hope so, man. Those guys have
let them bring more games. They nailed it with No Time to Explain, and now Lovely Planet is another title under their belt that they're publishing.
Now Punch Club is out.
Yeah, on Steam. Hopefully that'd be neat to see come to console.
Yep. Hopefully. I mean, I know that in my press email for Lovely Planet, they mentioned that one thing that they want to do is bring their games to consoles. So I know Speedrunners is supposed to come this year, so hopefully Punch Club will come eventually.
Nice. But I guess we could wrap this episode up. I wanted to touch on Cubot quick while we had another episode going, unless there's anything you guys have to talk about.
No, I did my weekly ranting about Fallout.
Nice.
Yeah, game
I know, Fallout. I know you wanted to talk about Chivalry last time, and we didn't.
Oh, yeah. Did you want to talk about Chizalry?
Chizalry. I don't know. I mean, what do you want me to say?
I don't know. What do you want to say about it?
I don't know. You're the one that's like, we should talk about the game. Okay.
So it's on Xbox now, right?
Yeah, Chivalry is on the Xbox One.
Go ahead.
I was waiting for you.
I was gonna say... All right, you talk about the price point and everything, then I'll talk.
Are you sure? Are you positive?
Yes.
Oh my
okay,
God,
it
guys.
Is $20 on the Xbox One. There is also a deluxe edition with added DLC and weapons. I know when it first launched, they were having issues with the DLC. I don't know if it's still giving problems. The big difference between the Xbox 360 version and the Xbox One version is that the player count went, I believe, from 12 to 24.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
Or 16 to 24, something like that. I know it's a significantly higher online play count, and the game is basically a first or third person online melee brawler where you choose between just a sword and a shield, or a great sword, or Shiz's favorite, a bow and arrow.
You just fuck Archer, everything about the Archer, the bow, the crossbow, the javelin, all that shit could eat a fucking dick.
But it's basically then 12 on 12 where you got to murder each other, or they have a free for all where you just murder everybody. There was a horde style mode too, wasn't it?
Yeah, this horde, which I got wrecked at immediately. One thing that was funny is when you die, you can be like all cameraman with it. But when you do that, you can actually get kicked for idling.
Really?
Which is kind of ridiculous. Like, I'm not playing, I'm just watching, and you kick me. Okay. They should have maybe found a way to fix that.
Is there a host, or is the server just kicks you?
I think it was just a server that kicked me.
Okay.
Yeah,
you have been kicked for idling. Okay, thanks, bro.
Yeah, they should have disabled that if you're dead and waiting.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I'm supposed to dick around with the camera all day. But...
No, but the game's been around on Steam long enough that it might have been they realized that too many people took advantage and just watched and didn't come back in to help their, you know, or play or whatever.
It's possible.
Yeah. But I feel like this is one of those where you see a game get a second life because it's been out for a mm-hmm. long time on Steam.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it came out last year on the 360. And again, now that it's on the One, it was also on sale for a couple of weeks. I don't know if it's still on sale, but it was the regular version was $13 instead of $20, and the deluxe was like $20 instead of $50. But I know that this DLCs are all like armor and
I think the ultimate edition with the DLC is normal, supposed to be $30, because that's where I've seen it hanging out. And then on the sale, I think it was like 20 something, like 24 or 23, something like that.
Yeah, instead of $50, which is, again, like if you like armor and, you know, weapons and stuff, then it's definitely a crazy deal. You get like for $7 or $8 or something, you get like $32 worth of DLC, which is crazy.
I was going to say, I think that 50 some price tag is the individual items all added up. It's not mm-hmm. the normal price of the Ultimate Edition, which I think is just $30.
So at least the Ultimate Edition itself is a value right then there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like the game. I'm terrible at it. I wish I could play with friends easier, because if you're doing mm-hmm. free-for-all, it's easy to get into a game. But if, like, me, Shiz, and someone else are trying to get on team versus team, it is incredibly difficult, because you have to hope you can get in the same lobby and then hope you can get on the same team. They don't have a way to just invite a party to game like Halo does. I think that's something that needs to be addressed, but the game itself is fucking baller.
You also need to, honestly, the hit detect, like the lag, I guess it makes a bit of sense because, you know, it's online, but it could be better, but the hit detection is complete shit. It's really, like, you have to be so, so precise, which is just impossible, again, because of the lag. Like, if you're trying to shoot somebody, it's goddamn impossible. But even just slashing, like, I'll look directly at somebody, and I don't hit them. And then this guy just swung 5 feet away from me, and I get decapitated. So I learned really quickly that the only way to actually, like, land your hits is basically just swing your camera around with your sword or your axe or whatever, and then you're going to hit people. But if you're actually going for precise strikes, you won't hit anything, which is complete bullshit. The game's been out too long for that to still be an issue.
I still think a lot of it is you not being close enough to people to hit them.
Like, no, man, when my melee sword is like literally touching the back of their head and I don't hit them, then that's the problem with the game, not me.
Yeah.
I know it sucks.
I'm not saying all of
much.
It is you, no, but no. I think a chunk of it is. And then the aiming mm-hmm. with the bow, you're just terrible. So.
Oh, I know. I know. But there would be, yeah, like the lag doesn't help, like I said. The other day was when I was on Thursday when we were recording, I was playing Chivalry, grinding out my crossbow kills. And, you know, I would be aiming at the guy, and as I was firing, he just like teleports into me and stabs me.
Oh, that's actually like, he paid for that. That's an upgrade.
Yeah, that's
part
paid
of
boost.
The Ultimate Edition.
Yeah,
the Nightcrawler DLC.
DLC.
But, oh, that'd be great. Yeah, honestly, besides the, like the problems with the game, is fucking amazing.
But really at least these issues are relatively easily fixable. You know, get the servers mm-hmm. running a little bit better. That'll take care of the lag. Hit detection. I mean, don't quote me as a programmer, but I feel like hit detection is something that could be patched relatively easily compared to like, oh, the game just randomly crashes. You know, that's
increase the hitbox or something and then call it a day.
Yeah, they've got a functioning game now. They just need to tweak it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have complained about just random technical issues with the Xbox One version. So hopefully a couple of patches will fix it up and get it working a lot smoother. The game itself, though, I think it's pretty awesome. So if you got the money and you're looking to murder people with swords online, go for it. Just don't expect any kind of like single player stuff, because that's not the kind of game it is.
Yeah, you can't
pretty much.
Enemies without enemies.
One thing that's cool is the Last Team Standing. That mode, I didn't play it, and I don't know if you did, Joe, but it's basically, you guys have a set amount of lives, and Last Team Standing wins.
Nice.
Yeah, I got to play that next. That too, it has a good selection of maps and variety and stuff. I mean, it's always, you know, it's like Halo or anything where you could vote for maps. The same ones always get picked.
Yeah.
But they do have quite a good selection. of maps and all that. I just wish actually there was more music. Like in a 10-minute game, it only plays music at the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's makes it intense. To build the suspense.
Yeah, and I think the spawn points changed because I definitely noticed that at those 2 minutes, everybody is a lot closer and there's a lot more action.
What's it's a medieval warfare game, so just play Enya. The back.
Nice.
Sail away.
I just like that song so much. I wish that they had, some music for the first 8 minutes, and then it gets, crazy intense at the end.
Yeah, like I can Peggle, understand
where
that.
Peggle, when you get down to, it has music the whole time, and then when you have your last ball, the music changes.
Yeah.
Do something like that.
Even just have war drums, just have some
that
drums.
That would be fucking awesome, actually. That would be awesome.
Da-da-dun-da-dun.
Dubstep war drums. Bow. Bow.
Yeah, well, that's also the Nightcrawler DLC.
Yeah, exactly.
The same sound effect as the diesel-powered vibrator that Pappy saw on Antique Roadshow.
Oh, my God. Your headset vibrates off your head and shit.
That's a good way to end the show.
On that note, thanks for listening. We still are taking entries for our Fucked Up Dream contest. We have 2 entries so far and 3 codes, so if we get one more, everybody's a winner, and if we get 2 more, someone's gonna be sad. So
let's get 5 more.
Hey, I'd be happy if we got a whole bunch of sad people out of a contest. That would mean that we're getting emails, but you could shoot us an email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. We just gave away 5 copies of Lovely Planet with this episode, thanks to the wonderfully awesome Vidvat. And by the way, mad props to that name for being awesome. I mean, really, come on, Vidvat? That's an awesome name. Vidvat Madan.
Yep. Yeah,
so, Vidvat, nice Vidvat, Vidvat, bam, boom.
Exactly. So thanks for listening. Does anybody have any final words to end this show on a low note?
You suck.
A low note?
A brown note?
We'll be right back.